What's the meaning of the word Satan? You don't know that one. The word Satan means accuser. It's the accuser that bound. But the authority he had to bind the woman, he secured from the court of heaven. And God was expecting you to come to that court to bring a superior argument than that which is responsible for the bondage, and you never came. You never came for 18 years. You never showed up. And all you were doing was speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues and bound. Speaking in tongues and afflicted. Speaking in tongues and you are moving around in circles on one spot for 18 years. And the woman's status of covenant was not in doubt. She was heavily covenanted. She was a bona fide daughter of Abraham. And I hope you know, according to the book of Galatians chapter 3, we are bona fide children of Abraham because of our faith in Christ Jesus. That is the same status you have as a believer. And that woman being in that status was bound by Satan for 18 years. The person that asked that question, are you still asking it? Or can we make progress now? Because I need to clear your doubts first before we start. And like I said, it's a fresh area of restoration of truth in the body of Christ. It's not so common. It's a fresh area of restoration. And that's why we're digging into it step by step, precept by precept, line upon line. That's how every truth was supposed to be established in the body of Christ. So when you bring hypergrace truth, we have the right to question it. Huh? When you bring this, the teaching of once saved, always saved, I will show you 80 scriptures in the New Testament. I don't agree with that position. 80. And the thing about the scripture is that it's a book of prophecy, and there were many instruments that God used, many people. Is that true? You know, there's one religious book, it's only one person that prophesied, all true. But the reason why in the Bible there were many people that God used is so that the Bible will not be capable of private interpretation. You will not say, this is what this thing means. And then another person will come and say, this is what it means. That is not capable with the Bible. Just like somebody said, they were in one accord in the book of Acts chapter 2, that you will soon get your Honda Accord. That is not supported. You are not with me. You are not. It's not supported by any other scripture. Okay, if you say that is Honda Accord, we need to look for another scripture that prescribes it, and you will find out that you are in a standalone position. The Bible is not capable of private interpretation. So when they were bringing the hypergrace, I brought them 80 scriptures. These are 80 scriptures in the New Testament that says that that position of doctrine is not biblical. And I said, if you are in doubt, let us do a debate for the whole world. They bring camera. Let the whole world see us debate. Then it will be obvious who has the truth. They have not responded to now. Because scripture is not capable of private. What? Interpretation. If you are bringing a truth, it must be supported by every aspect of truth in the Bible. We need to put one aspect of truth aside to accommodate this, your new invention. Are you with me? So that's why I'm taking my time, and I'm willing to respond. If there's any question so far, we can still ask it, respond, before I start telling you how to access the court. I don't want to go further if there's still a question. Because I know not all of you came to learn. Some of you came to attack. Yes, and I'm ready, you know. I'm ready. I've been on this is the fourth year that I've been studying this matter. You know, a lawyer doesn't come to court without knowledge. You don't come to court without knowledge. So those scriptures you are hoping to revive, to use, I have studied it before. And I found, are you still with me? Okay, so can we go to court now? Show you a few things about how to access the court. If you're still here, say amen. I hope I'm not wasting your time. Huh? Okay. We took a case study yesterday that we did not have sufficient time to prosecute. And that case study was drawn from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 1. Sorry, 2 Samuel, chapter 21. Please stay with me during the course of the conference. I intend to teach. Then when we are able to teach a little, then we'll practicalize the things that we are teaching. Because the Bible reveals that the kingdom of God is not in word, it is in power. So when we do some teaching, we'll do practical on the subject that we have taught, so that we can see it illustrated graphically with power. That's how the kingdom is administered. Is that clear? All right. Okay, can we go to 2 Samuel chapter 21? The Bible says, then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. You know, are you here? I went back to study the scripture in the night and to check my notes. So I will correct something. There's a statement I made yesterday. I will correct it as we progress. He said, there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul, for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And I established how that Israel and the Gibeonites had a pact in the days of Joshua, which was 700 years before the curse began to find expression. Right? So yesterday, the mistake I made was that I said 70 years before David came, Saul went and killed. It is 17, not 70. 17 years before David became king, Saul went and killed the Gibeonites as a show of his zeal. And Satan went to court in heaven and said, is it not you that had a covenant with the Gibeonites? How come Saul killed the Gibeonites and you're quiet? And it was obvious that God had a covenant with the Gibeonites. In fact, it was when Joshua was fighting to defend the Gibeonites that God made the sun and the moon to stand still, in show of his commitment to covenant. So when Satan came with that accusation, there was no way God could not give Satan the allowance to bring the needed judgment that is suiting for that kind of trespass. And even though, according to original premise of covenant, that nation was never supposed to be in famine, and David knew that, so David did something. He went to inquire of the Lord, because the manifestation of that famine was contrary to the promise that God gave his people. Are you here? Have you found anything in your life that is contrary to the word of God? This is not supposed to be manifest, but you are seeing it find expression. You need to follow the example of David. What did David do? The first thing he did was that he inquired of the Lord. And God said, it is what Saul did that Satan is using to punish the land. You get that? One of the things we'll need to teach the people of God again is the prayer of inquiry. How to prosecute the prayer of inquiry. Sister, do you know what it takes to ask God a question and get an answer? You are the one looking like this. Yeah. Now, you see, so what happened to the church in Nigeria is that our discipleship is not adequate. Right? We make a lot of noise and dance, but the core of spiritual education... Sorry, don't stand. Because you say the truth. When the anointing comes, I will do something for you. I know most of you don't believe that the anointing can do something for somebody. You know, we are not from the seminary. It's a seminarian that will say, a reverend that is in seminary that will say, the Lord bless you and cause his face to shine on you. That's all he knows. He has never been to the field. I'm coming from the field. I've seen God in a brighter light than that kind of benediction. When he comes, you will have a return on investment, a reward. Are you with me? So David went and inquired. These things that are happening here are strange to our expectation based on the promises that you have given us. So what is happening? And God revealed the context. He said, it is because of Saul. The violations of Saul are giving Satan an occasion to bring this judgment on the land. So in spiritual justice, the first critical matter you need to understand is what we call restitution. Please help me say it. What did I say? Now, I need to explain that. In a justice system, for instance, I stole from you, okay? And then I gave my life to Christ, I became born again. And then 2 years after I became born again, I now realized that I fall sick every month. So I now went to God and said, God, what is happening to me? Is it not written that by your stripes I am healed? And he said, oh, my son, the reason why this thing is happening is because you stole, and you are still in custody of what you took. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, I have heard people teach restitution, and they taught it in the flesh. And the implementation of this subject has been in the flesh. That's not what I came to do. You're not with me. You know the reason why I'm restituting? Because there is a legal situation in heaven, and Satan is using the premise of my possession of this that I took from him as the basis of insisting that judgment must come my way. Do you understand that? So if I know from the Lord that that is the accusation, what I do is I restore this to him so that Satan no longer has a ground. So one of the ways to get salvation in a situation where restitution is required is that upon restitution, Satan will lose the ground of his accusation, and you will enter into the promises of God for your life that God has given to you, that you have been denied because of the position of the accusation. Hear me. You are not hearing me. You only, and I say only with capital letters, you only explore the instrument of restitution when God reveals to you that that restitution is what is required to make Satan lose his legal ground of accusation. Is that clear? Because the other day I saw one young man say he went to a seminar and they taught him on restitution, and he's not the one that wrote his WAEC. Listen to me. You are not listening now. As at the time I'm talking about this young man, he was already a PhD holder, lecturing in one of the universities, and he said he went to a seminar and the teacher told him to go and restitute his WAEC. Are you here? It was not God that revealed that there was a situation that he had to restitute something. It was the preacher that told him. So he went to the VC and said his WAEC was, he wrote it, somebody wrote it for him. Are you there? The VC, being a Christian too, now told him, if you say you are restituting this WAEC, that means all the salaries you collected too, that means even the vehicle that you bought through. You see, the reason why it is not accurate is because it's a human being that occasioned that initiative. Why do we restitute? Because he inquired of the Lord and God showed him the spot. There are many things that the blood of Jesus has consumed in your life. You don't understand? Don't try to reinvent the wheel. So when we teach restitution, it is with respect to something that the Spirit of God revealed, which forms the platform of accusation in the court of heaven. Don't, Oga. Restitution is not something you hear a preacher and do. Because the preacher doesn't even know you, and the preacher will even confuse you. Who told you that it's only WAEC? What of the lady you disvirgin? How can you restitute the car? I don't want to. Let me leave you there. Huh? I know you were praying that I should not go there, but all right. The reason why I raised the issue of restitution in the first place is because of the reading that I want us to do. The king, this is David now, he called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? Because he told them the matter. And wherewith shall I make atonement, which is restitution? Do you get it? Inheritance of the house of the Lord. And the Gibeonites said unto him, nor of his house, neither for us shall thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, the man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let seven of his sons be delivered unto us, and we shall hang them up unto the Lord in Gilboa of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. Are you following? This is a very long case study of the instrument of restitution that was used to take away a legal position in the court of heaven away from the accuser, so that the God of heaven can bless his inheritance. Do you see, David also, David said, when I give you, finish giving you that thing, and you are satisfied, they asked for seven sons to be hanged. And all of that was restitution. He said, when you have done that, then come and bless the house of Israel. It means because of the violation that took place, the Gibeonites, Satan was using the violation that came to them as an instrument of bringing judgment. So you, that Satan is using as an instrument of bringing judgment, bless us when we have restituted. And that was how they were able to undo the position that David, that Satan had in the court of heaven, and rain began to fall. I want to say again before I go further, because there are technical issues that are associated with this justice system. Are you here? The reason why restitution was not an alternative was because of the revelation that came from God. I will say it 10 times until it enters your brain. It was not because a preacher preached, but because they inquired of the Lord, and that was what God said. It means that the techniques to inquire from God on a matter are critical if we are going to make Satan lose his ground of legality in the court of heaven. You are not with me. Let me push it further again. Can we go to the book of Isaiah quickly? Can we do Isaiah chapter 49, verse 24? If you're there, say amen. Verse 24 says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or shall the lawful captive be delivered? I need to explain that question. It's a question. It says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? And because there was a possibility that you may not understand that question, he asked the question again. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Or he's asking the question again because you are not likely to understand it. Shall the lawful captive be delivered? So that guy that is called mighty is not mighty because he's a giant or he has brute strength. The guy that is called mighty because the captivity he puts his subjects to is legal in nature. Legal in nature. Is what? It means that there are captivities that have legal undertones. Captivities that are courtroom captivities. Captivities that Satan has the allowance to afflict from the court of heaven. Because he has gone to present reasons why the captivity should exist. Are you with me? Reasons in the court of heaven. So if we see that the reason that Satan presented is a reason that is tied to a certain violation, and there is a possibility of restituting that position, salvation will be secured when restitution is established. Are you with me? If the reason for the captivity is tied to something you yourself committed, and you know you are guilty, that is when we bring another facility. It's called the blood of Jesus. Now, I need to show you something before we learn how to implement the voice of the blood of Jesus accurately. I need to show you something. I need to show you the New Testament perspective of the court of heaven and the instruments and the facilities that are available within that context, and how to maneuver with each instrument and each facility that is present in the court of heaven. Are you still here? Yes, sir. All right. So for that, we may need to go to the book of Hebrews. You know, the only evidence that what I'm preaching to you is true is, you know, the issues that are beginning to crop up in your heart right now. Things that has defied prayer, has defied anointing oil, has defied laying of hands, has defied anointing. Those are the things that I want you to bring up now when we go into prayers. And then we will know how to apply those prayers. And some people's marriage, there is something in the court. There's a legal situation that has blocked the possibility of you marrying. You don't believe me? Now, when you have such legal matters, there are sometimes you are going to have snapshots, demonic snapshots in your dreams. Oh, okay. Let me not go too fast. Once upon a time, I was in the office in Makurdi, and somebody walked into the office. It was a footballer. And very good footballer, for that matter. And it came to pass, he told me his experience, that when they are going to play a match and they are in the bus driving to the stadium, he will have a short nap, very short nap. And in this nap, he will see a woman come and sleep with him. And the moment that happens, put him on the field, he's useless. So there were matches, and meanwhile, let him train. During training, that thing doesn't come. During training, he's a rover. Many times they have tested him for drugs because of his maneuverability on the field. tested him from drugs, it was he came out negative. He's a star on the field. But whenever he has that dream, in that game, he will be the weakest link. When there are court situations in the realm, they are likely to be snapshots, some kind of reoccurring things that you see within the plane of your receptacle. Now, let me take you somewhere quickly so that we can pray. Because I've taken too much of your time. I did not intend to take time, okay? So let me round up. My note is full. We have not gotten close. And meanwhile, the scope of delivery for this weekend was supposed to see God as a judge, then we'll now go into seeing God as a king, and then go into see God as a lawgiver. So that the... But we are still battling with time. Okay, let's go to the book of Hebrews quickly. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews 12. It said, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels. Ye are come to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven. To the God, which God have you come to? The judge. So the layout here is the layout of the court of heaven, where God appears as a judge. Is that clear? All right. Ye are come to the spirits of just men made perfect. Ye are come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. The first thing you need to know about the court of heaven is that your lawyer is Jesus. Ye are come to Jesus. Who is Jesus in the court? He is the mediator of the new covenant. Now, the point is, yes, I know you know Jesus. You know Jesus mentally, but you don't know his role and how to align with his role as he functions as your own attorney. So right there in the court of heaven, you have the voice of the mediator of the new covenant. How can you use the presence of your lawyer, even Jesus? How can you use it to your advantage? You don't know. Let me continue my reading. Meanwhile, for your information, your lawyer is present in that arrangement. In that arrangement. You are come unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You also come unto the blood of sprinkling. The blood of sprinkling happens to be one of the facilities that is in the court of heaven. And for your information, a little detail was given about the potency and the capacity of the blood of sprinkling, that it speaketh better things than what? Than the blood of Abel. And I told you the other time that when you find out that in a situation you are guilty, we have been told to close. So let's close. The way you are looking, as if you are sad. The suggestion for us to close is so that we can have enough time in the evening. And you know, I'm a man under authority. This platform is Pastor Tina's platform. And whatever he feels is best is what I would do. Hallelujah. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. I will show you what that means. You have also come to the blood of sprinkling. That does what? The blood of sprinkling. No. I know you don't understand what the blood of sprinkling means. You know what the blood means, but you don't know what the blood of sprinkling. You will need to go to the Old Testament to learn about the blood of sprinkling. It's when you have learned about the blood of sprinkling that you understand the meaning of the blood of sprinkling within the context of the court of heaven. And it says that the blood of sprinkling, it speaketh better things than the blood of him. To give you an insight of the fact, into the fact that this blood we are talking about, it speaks. And the kind of speaking, if the blood of Abel was able to secure vengeance, justice, just the blood that came from the ground, that cried, was able to secure justice against Cain from the court of heaven. Because the blood of Abel was crying out for vengeance. And indeed, vengeance was executed by that court of heaven. But the Bible says concerning the blood of Jesus, it says he speaks better things. What it is speaking about you has better potency than the blood of Abel. What it is speaking about you has better efficacy. And just in case you are guilty, you are guilty, and I'm not saying go and look for guilt, because your status, the sin you commit as a believer is different from the sin you committed as an unbeliever. I don't have time to show you. Are you here? Because when the hypergrace movement came, it came to encourage believers to sin, because you don't understand the implication of your sin in Christ, what it does to you in the court of heaven. And there are many people that followed through the hypergrace movement that became mad. And those dimensions of madness were things that were orchestrated from the court. You can't use anointing to free them. You need to take them to court process. Because the one in charge of their bondage, the Bible comes, he calls him mighty. One of the things God gave me recently, commissions he gave me recently, is to liberate nations from curses. It is when this commission came, God began to teach me fresh things. It was as if I never knew the Bible before. That every bondage has a legality. And if I know how to manipulate the infrastructure that is within the court of heaven, I can set the captives free. Is it not by one man God brought an entire nation out of captivity? Before you take on Pharaoh, you need to know your weight. Because there are seven deadly spirits that are behind him. One man with a rod came against Pharaoh. Pharaoh, the great monarch that built treasure cities of Pithom and Ramses. Nobody fights him. But a shepherd man came with his shepherd rod to Egypt. And Egypt had never remained the same. You are going to be that prophet. Yeah. You are going to be that messenger that will go back to the same place of bondage and captivities among your people. And because you will know how to wield the facilities that are in the court of heaven, you will bring men out of captivity. The barren women in your fold, in your community, will become fruitful. All kinds of things will begin to take place because we had the visitation of a prophet. I did not just come so that you could have miracles. I came so that there can be a verdict secured on your behalf from heaven to move to the next level and to have capacity to prosecute your destiny to the fullest manifestation of glory. You are come unto the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Oh my God. If you know what that understanding did to me, I am come to that place where the blood of sprinkling speaks. I am come to that place where the blood of sprinkling utters its counsel and manipulates the problem of justice in the court of heaven. We want to use the instrument of the blood. We are come.
we are come unto the blood of sprinkling. Just in case there are verdicts that have been released, and it is true that the points that the devil brought are valid points, he has good reasons. The reason why his reasons will no longer be valid after this time is because we are come. We are come unto the blood of sprinkling. Unto the blood of sprinkling. And whenever the blood of Jesus goes to walk in the court of heaven, there is a mercy. Mercy is invoked. Mercy is invoked. We are come. We are come. We are come unto the blood of sprinkling. We are come unto that blood that offers better things than the blood of Abel. So that mercy can be invoked. So that mercy can be invoked. And if the judge decides to show mercy, the plaintiff becomes useless in court. Can you invoke that blood right now? We are come. We are come. We are come unto the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things